Picture this, you're sitting down to watch a live poetry performance. The first poet takes the stage, and as they begin to read, they're accompanied by a live jazz band. If this sounds intriguing, well, you're in luck. International Jazz Poetry Month returns to Pittsburgh on May 2nd. The festival features more than 50 artists, including local jazz icons and poets from Algeria, Cuba, Sudan, and Ukraine. Tickets to watch online or in person at City of Asylum's home on the north side are free. Get yours at cityofasylum.org before they're gone.
Today on CityCast Pittsburgh, we have a lot of great outdoor spaces here in the city, but until a couple of years ago, you couldn't just pop up a tent in a park on a summer night. And it's not everywhere, at least not yet, but there is now a pilot program to introduce kids and their families to overnight camping right here in town, plus a free gear library where folks can borrow anything they need for just about any destination. Today, I'm back with the founder of the Outdoor Inclusion Coalition to talk about camping, the best amenities to look for, his hacks to get started, and a bunch of recommendations for your next big adventure. It's Wednesday, April 24th. I'm Megan Harris, and here's what Pittsburgh is talking about. Marcus Schaffner, welcome back to CityCast Pittsburgh.
Yeah, happy to be here again.
You have done so much work around camping, especially getting kids outdoors here in the city, particularly via this pilot program in Riverview Park. It's been going for a couple of years now, and it's been a minute since we talked. So what's the word? How's it been going?
Yeah, it's going great. We're excited for another really full year, but another beautiful spring and summer here in southwestern Pennsylvania, hosting kids outside, families outside, and organizations that are getting kids outside to participate in local recreation that's proximal to them. So I can't wait to kick this year off. It's just a few weeks away.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of feedback have you gotten? Because you got a lot of trips under your belt now.
Yeah, it feels that way. Yeah. I mean, the community is really excited about having a proximal asset. You know, the most important thing that we've been able to solve is if something goes wrong for your first camping trip, being able to turn around and go home. You know, like I think I referenced it whenever we first spoke. It's like, oh, I forgot the ketchup. Like I don't need to go to a convenience store. I don't need to, you know, hop in my car and go 45 minutes away. You know, if you bike there, if you took public transit there, you can be home in like 10 to 15 minutes and come back.
That's pretty good for kids too. Cause like sometimes, you know, they'll get a little nervous.
For sure.
They need to be able to back out in a hurry.
Yeah. You forget your socks, you can go home and come right back. That's the most important thing. We've kind of experienced that.
Why is it so important for you to enshrine this kind of access to outdoor spaces in the city of Pittsburgh? Because I feel like that's really where it started in a lot of ways, is making sure that was even possible here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's twofold. I mean, personally, I remember my stories of my grandfather taking me outside, and it was our backyard. So I was like extremely influential on where I am today. Like, you know, going to Peru or doing mountaineering trips, I can reference that as being able to walk on my backyard and camp with my family and friends. And knowing that that isn't a reality, or historically was not a reality in Pittsburgh, you know, we had an intention to change that. And I think creativity, time outside, eco stewardship, the passion and love to sustain the environment we live in has to be established within our backyards and our neighborhoods. So urban camping is just one byproduct of that. If we can create connections for students, families to go outside, you know, look up and see the stars for the first time and really have a connection to nature and the intention to sustain it, then we're doing something really impactful. And that's what the Urban Camping Initiative is all about.
Well, so what is that experience of camping in Riverview Park like? You know, you're talking about watching the stars. Like, that's kind of a special experience. It's sort of central to actually the history of the place.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the park is such a special amenity in itself. You know, there's so much flora and fauna around. There's wildlife there, which is incredible as well.
There are so many raccoons.
Yeah, that and deer. It's like, oh my gosh, you can't can't close an eye and open them back up without seeing something. But the observatory is a huge resource that historically hasn't been tapped into by the community members. We've been able to establish a partnership with them. So students, youth, and families that camp overnight can go and see the stars like in a formal setting and then come home and be like, oh, well, you know, I saw Saturn or I saw the moon or I saw, you know, I saw all of these things through amazing magnification that when they look back up, they'll have that connection of what they just saw within their own backyard. So that is huge. And then just knowing that the intentionality around investing into Riverview Park is there. I wouldn't say that the Urban Camping Initiative spurred that in any way, but we're alongside with making sure that modern amenities and resources are coming to the park.
Yeah, it's been in a porta potty kind of situation there for a minute. The road had caved in for a while, but like, I don't know, they fixed that. Like Davis Avenue Bridge is coming back. Like it kind of feels like Riverview Park is on an upswing finally.
Yeah, it feels that way. The shelter at the bottom is being redeveloped and being, I would say, restored more directly. And there's investment coming, and I'm excited to see what the park is going to look like, you know, 5 or 10 years from now. I can't say that it'll rival, you know, a Schenley Park and Flagstaff Hill or anything like that, but people are interested in coming there, which is important. And I think the community is excited to see individuals come to a park that represents them and is going to be a stewardship space to really encourage people to get outside. And I think that's what Riverview will be soon.
Well, let's talk about some of those resources that you provide. Mm-hmm. I know the Outdoor Inclusion Coalition has a whole camping gear library. How does it work and how can folks access it?
Yeah, for sure. There's only one prerequisite for us, and that's completing an outdoor leadership training that is an 8-hour session where we essentially teach you how to set up tents, sites, cook overnight, all of that type of stuff, and include leave no trace principles just so, you know, the land is sustained for everyone to use.
Mm-hmm. And leave no trace meaning don't, you know, if you make trash, take the trash back out.
Yeah. Stay on trail. Whatever you hike in with, hike out with it. There's a large amount of principles that are extremely important to make sure that we're conserving the planet. Mm-hmm. Not just for the recreational space, but like greenhouse gases and other things that occur. So we teach you that and make sure that you feel comfortable with, you know, lending out gear. There's no heavy cost associated with the products that we have. We have 20 sets of everything you can think of. So from down sleeping bags to synthetic to rain gear, tents, cooking stoves, all that stuff is publicly available once you complete your outdoor leadership training. And then if you want the access to Riverview Park to camp, we assist you with submitting the permit to the City Parks and Rec Department. None of this is a caveat for you to camp there. You know, if you're interested in just exploring, you know, other state parks, private owned campgrounds, or even your backyard, you know, like we're here for that. You can rent the gear from us too. You don't have to just stick with the spaces we hang with, you know, that's perfectly fine.
Do you have all weather stuff or just like warm weather kind of gear?
Yeah, we have all weather. I'm a winter camper, huge person that loves that. So we have stuff that'll hook you up for your time below zero if you're interested in that too. So
personally, I have a strict rule that all my friends know that I'm willing to be wet and I'm willing to be cold, but I am never willing to be both at the same time.
Simultaneously. I get it. I respect it. It's not too bad. It's not too bad, I promise. If you give it a chance, get your feet wet in the summer, I would say, and then slide into winter, summer. You'll be okay. I promise.
Are there less tangible resources that you recommend, maybe if someone's on their first or second or third camping trip and still trying to, you know, kind of get used to that experience of doing it on their own or with maybe minimal guiding?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a lot of resources that are out in the ether right now that are extremely important for individuals who are experiencing their first or 5,000th camping trip. If you go backcountry, fun country, having a resource that's available to kind of answer your questions is extremely important. So I always reference an app called Fridie Outdoors.
How do you spell that?
Fridie.
Okay.
And you can access that and download modules to view offline in regards to like water filtration, to setting up your tent, staking out guidelines, like all of these things that you can just hop and see on demand and it'll hopefully resolve some of the issues you may have. Because, yeah, if you haven't tied a knot in a very long time and you're like, oh, well, the wind's blowing now and I need a guy out my tent, like, here's a resource that'll help you.
So download some resources. Maybe you have a battery pack for that phone just in case, even if it's offline. Sure. What else do you recommend having in your arsenal?
Yeah, emergency food. For sure.
Snacks. Yeah.
Snacks of any way. Dehydrated food as well. They're super light. You can throw them in your pack. A first aid kit, always. Some people forget about those, but one that includes some kind of like Advil solution just in case you have a headache, or if you're way out there and elevation sickness is a thing, maybe that can resolve some of your need and assistance. And a safety plan. Like if you know that you're going offline, please let someone know. Most importantly, even if I'm camping at Riverview Park, I let my brother know, my partner know, like a friend know, like, hey, I'm going to be here. Mm-hmm. You don't hear from me, you know, please reach out to my assistance. Those are some things that are just basic necessities that we need to make sure that we complete every single time.
Do you like to dance? Look at beautiful art, eat gourmet snacks, people watch? Well, mark your calendars for Friday, June 7th for one of my favorite parties in Pittsburgh. It's Mattress Factory's 25th Garden Party. The theme this year is make-believe, and it's all to celebrate and support the creatives in our community. There's going to be live music, an open bar, an art auction, and probably my favorite, the costume contest. Trust me, I will be judging yins, and so will everyone else there. Be playful, be imaginative, explore your magical realm, because this is a theme party. You want to come dressed to impress. You must be 21 and up to attend, and rest assured, every dollar raised goes directly towards supporting the museum, its art, its education, and all of its community outreach initiatives. Get your tickets now to the 25th Mattress Factory Garden Party. They are in our show notes and online at mattress.org.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Well, we would love to get some of your recommendations for places to experience the outdoors in and around the city in Pittsburgh. What's your favorite place to go? Not necessarily for camping, but for, you know, any way to like experience the outdoors. What's your favorite? Or top three. You don't have to pick a favorite.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, Point State Park, just from an accessibility standpoint, I like biking there. I like walking there. I like taking my dog there.
I would love to camp there. That would be so much fun.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah.
Rubs hands together.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like super excited to see what the future holds there. That's a really accessible spot.
Okay, that's number one.
Yeah, that's number one. Riverview Park, to no surprise, I mountain bike as well. So I think that's a really... forgotten space. Everyone goes to Frick or North Park if you have accessibility to those spots. Again, primo spots, really amazing. But I think in regards to mountain biking, there's a huge opportunity for those who have not experienced that site to go and visit it and fall in love with it. So, and camping. So that would be number two. Number three, Hazelwood Green. But I think for the reason for that is I think that the accessibility to that location is really awesome. There's birds there that you can see as you're looking across to like the Hayes Woods area. And I think that the future may be bright in regards to recreation there.
Is it safe to do it? Because I know it's like a remediated brownfield over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great news.
I can say previously the Outdoor Inclusion Coalition supported Hazelwood Local and Art Excursions Unlimited to camp on Hazelwood Green last year, which was really awesome. There's about 50, 55 community members that camped there.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that one, that was really awesome. It was really impactful to see community like walk down the hill.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever, you know, been actually in the city of Pittsburgh and seen that many tents mm-hmm. in like a thriving outdoor community kind of way, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah. And the space still seems wild. I mean, when I stayed there with the group, I saw a coyote run across the ground. So like not near to us in any way. So don't feel afraid or scared in that way. But
they're more afraid of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Of. But like, it's a really interesting spot. And I think it holds near and dear to the community that has been historically fighting for the importance and value of their input for that spot. But that was special.
Sounds like it. Well, so you mentioned North Park, so I feel like we're venturing out a little bit. What about places that are maybe within an hour of the city?
Yeah, within an hour, Moraine. I mean, if you want to get to a lake area, that's really cool. Really good camping there. I would recommend that as we continue to kind of venture out into like the hour and a half segments. I mean, it really comes into the space of like some of my favorites in the state of Pennsylvania. Tall Oaks Campground, which is a private owned campground that's in like the Lowell Highlands area, Fayette County area. That's okay. Really awesome. It's near Ohio Pile. And again, Ohio Pile State Park is a really awesome state park that has camping and it's like a recreational playground.
It's got so much stuff over there.
Yeah. So like that's probably my favorite space to go to if I'm looking for a weekend, where can I get away to? Yeah, really great space up there. I mean, how far can we go out?
I mean, hey, let's have fun. Within, let's say, like, I feel like most people's thresholds, like, I know yours is bigger. I can already see from your face. But let's stop at, like, 4 or 5 hours. That gives you a huge swath. You can get mostly across Pennsylvania into Ohio and West Virginia from there.
Yeah, well, in the 1.5 hour range, you can still go to, Ohio and go to a national park.
Yeah, Cuyahoga, right?
Yeah, that's an hour and a half away. So that would be, if you haven't been to a national park, I really believe in the power of a national park, no matter East Coast or West, go to one.
The amenities are a little bit next level.
They are. they, from the Department of Interior, to be specific, they definitely fund national parks a bit differently than what we see at the state level. But if you can go, you should go to a national park to experience that once, and maybe that'll light the fire for greater exploration. So that's the 1.5 hour range. If we're going to like the 2-3 Cherry Springs State Park.
That's been on my list the whole time I've lived in the state and I still haven't been.
Come on.
I think this is the year. I found a group of girlfriends that are all into it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to psych them up.
I love it. Dark sky area. So for those who maybe have considered camping, I always tell people this. If you're considering camping at Riverview Park, the next step to me that I would love to take everyone to is Cherry Springs. If you like seeing the stars, there's no better place to see it in a space that's naturally wild, completely black, and you can see the Milky Way, all the galaxies, and have an observation tower and area. So very small state park. I think it's like maybe 100 acres. So in regards to like size, it's not, an Ohio Pile that has, I think, like 4,000 acres. So very small and quaint, but you can camp there. It's really special. The community that kind of borders Cherry Springs really hypes up the asset. It's like going to Erie, you mm-hmm. know, when you go there, you know what you're getting yourself into in regards to like what the community wants you to do. Get outside, go bike, camp on the bluffs, like that type of space and that vibe. So that would be my highest recommendation if you have, 3 hours to get out and about.
Yeah. And do you have any strong preference, or I guess, how do you counsel people, say public versus private versus, mm-hmm. having a state asset versus a national one?
Yeah. So I can say some of the state managed assets, like the Ohio Pile, Moraine, all of the state parks that are in the network that provide camping, you can expect the same structure and expectations for each site, quiet hours, check in, check out, all of that is going to be pretty standardized across the network. The biggest thing that I enjoy about private owned and managed sites is you get that and maybe a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Like at Tall Oaks Campground, there's a convenience store on site. They have a gear library that you can rent stuff out at on site. They have hot showers on site, a lot of those things.
That's next level.
Yeah, a lot of those things that you're just like, these are nice things to have. And maybe that's what the future of modernizing amenities looks like at a state level. Again, there's not a better than scenario here. I think you'll have a great experience at a state site or a private owned site. But just some key differences to keep in mind if you're looking to go trail running and you don't want to sleep with mud on your yourself. Like, you know, you might want to consider, do they have a shower there? So,
yeah. Well, while we're on the subject, because I know you're always thinking big, is there anything that you think that, you know, Pennsylvania or Pittsburgh should do to improve some of its camping sites? Could be amenities, maybe signage, the world's your oyster. What would you love to see?
Yeah. I think there's really two to three really big things that I think the state of Pennsylvania is supposed to do, which one is QR code access to resolve any issue that you may have at state park. So we had referenced it already, you know.
Yeah, in our previous conversation, but you worked so hard to make that possible.
So I think that's one. The ability to have just resources there for individuals that this might be their first time. Mm-hmm. I think we historically have thought of the outdoors as kind of like a ancestral pipeline of, like, you know, my family did it, we've always been doing it, my, you know, an elder taught me how to do this, so now I'm competent in doing it. We're trying to break that stigma. If there's a way that, again, like a Fruity Outdoors app or something that's established here in the city of Pittsburgh to be a how-to guide.
That heritage is wonderful if you've got it, but if you don't, who's going to show you?
For sure. Yeah. So I think that is one. And I would say lastly is just the public accessibility. Riverview Park asset is a beacon of hope for what can be. You know, I think if we could have public accessibility to a state park that provides camping, I mean, everyone always rebuttals and says, well, you have Point State Park, but you can't camp there.
Yeah, not yet. Yeah. I have faith in you.
If we could have something to like a moraine state park where, you know, every Friday, you know, from 5 p.m. to 7, a bus is going to take you up there and drop you off. And then on Saturday, there's a return route. Sunday, there's a return route. Like, I think that would be really impactful because nonprofits can only fill so much space in regards to accessibility needs. And if we can fold that into a public infrastructure to be able to support consistent engagement outdoors and grow the populations that are recreating outdoors, I think that would be a huge benefit. So.
Sounds like maybe you've got some conversations with PRT coming your way.
we've got some things in the works. I think that's really the future of outdoors. And again, we're not being innovative in any sense. Like, Seattle SeaTac has all of this infrastructure in place. Denver has all of this in place. Sections of Utah has all of this in place. We're just trying to be an East Coast city that cares about people getting outdoors and reaping the benefits of it. So.
But still, I want to give you flowers because you're trying to make Pittsburgh a nicer place, and that is not nothing.
Yeah, we're trying.
Marcus, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
That's all for today here on CityCast Pittsburgh. If you want to keep up with Marcus and the Outdoor Inclusion Coalition, you can check out their Instagram page. That's at Outdoor Inclusion Coalition, or their website, www.oic.org. Plus, you can find them in person at Mellon Park's Arbor Day event on April 27th and the Juneteenth Youth Fest. Make sure you're subscribed to our Hey Pittsburgh newsletter. And remember, if you sign up to be a CityCast member through this Friday, you will get an email from Sophia with her top three favorite treats in Pittsburgh. That's membership.citycast.fm/Pittsburgh. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. Talk to you soon. When you're in the park, especially with a bunch of kids, do you get any sleep?
I go to sleep very easily and very peacefully. So.
Are you one of those humans that like closes your eyes and delicately falls asleep seconds later?
For sure. Yeah. I only get to like 4 or 5 sheep before I'm asleep. I go to sleep very easily.
That's an incredible gift, especially for somebody working with children.